a third option for the Celtics on draft night, and should the Celtics just run it back? Plus, why they might not want to spend their entire mid-level exception. It's a Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com, welcoming you back to another edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you if you're a new listener for checking us out. If you came along, you're one of Keith Smith's listeners and you're just checking it out, thank you. I hope you are deciding to subscribe soon. You regular listeners, hope you enjoy the show. Everybody who is listening, remember, Fridays are mailbag days. And that's on MassLive.com. Now, I'm a Boston Celtics beat reporter from MassLive. I am doing a MassLive mailbag, but I can't put all of the questions in that piece, so a bunch of questions end up on the podcast. So email me, jcarallis@MassLive.com. J-K-A-R-A-L-I-S. jcarallis@MassLive.com. Email me your questions. I will answer them either on masslive.com or on tomorrow's podcast. So get those over to me. Today's podcast, starting in segment one with a John Hollinger alternative draft strategy for the Celtics. We talked about staying put. We talked about trading up. John Hollinger has an interesting third strategy for the Celtics. Segment two, should the Celtics just run it back? I've got Tom Westerholm and I, he also is a Celtics beat reporter on Mass Live. We did a kind of give and take. I'll talk a little bit about whether the Celtics should just run it back and why that's kind of like half the strategy. Segment three, if the Celtics just tinker around the edges, who are we looking at and why the Celtics maybe don't want to use their full taxpayer mid-level exception. There's a reason. There's a sound reason. That's segment three. Let's start here with the draft. John Hollinger, who obviously created the player efficiency rating stat for ESPN, PER. You see that used a lot. He also went to the Memphis Grizzlies and was an executive with them. And now he's back. He's writing for The Athletic and he hosts a podcast with Nate Duncan, the Hollinger and Duncan podcast here on Locked On. So subscribe to them. He recently made a case for a different draft strategy where he doesn't believe that they use any of their picks in this draft. They don't just stay put. They don't use them to trade up. Here is, I'll play you his clip from a recent Hollinger and Duncan podcast of what he thinks the Celtics should do on draft night.
I don't think they're going to end up using any of those three picks. I think the ideal scenario for them is that they trade the 14th pick for a future first, maybe one that hits next year or the year after. They select an overseas player at 26, like Leandro Balmaro, let's say. And then they take the 30th pick, Cantor and Poirier, and trade that for a second round pick, like maybe like 48 or something. Why do you do that? Because then the second round pick, you can pay the minimum, the rookie minimum, which is less than the veteran minimum. So that savings, along with the tax, basically gets tripled. I think if they do those things, that opens a few roster spots for them. Lets them probably keep their roster at 14 all year. Lets them maybe use their taxpayer mid-level to sign another guard, which I think they probably ought to do, and without their tax situation getting crazy. And gives them enough flexibility to fight another day in terms of if there's a really juicy deal that comes along, they still are sitting on picks then because they've traded 14 for a future first. And so they can still bring that into a deal to sweeten the pot if somebody truly difference making becomes available.
This is something I didn't expect. I didn't even think about. But that's why he's a guy that worked in the league and he's a very smart guy to trade that 14th pick, kick it into next year, is an interesting scenario, because if Boston is looking to land a big fish to maybe trade for at the deadline, somebody that might want out. And we're looking at some players who are threatening to opt out, potentially. You don't know who. I mean, everybody wants to talk about Giannis, but 2021 is going to involve a lot of other players. So, well, the 2021 offseason, I should say. And we're talking about not just Giannis, but Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Victor Oladipo, if you're so inclined. Other guys, even LeBron, but that's probably not going to be an option. Point is, there are other names that could be like, you know what, I'm done. And that pick, instead of using it this year, could be a pot sweetener for a trade deadline. Maybe it's not for one of those big guys. Maybe it's for other help that could be coming. And that's something that's going to play into my second segment. So keep that in mind, that trading one of these picks, possibly the 14th pick, into a future draft has value, because there is a trade deadline that's still going to be coming. A draft and stash at 26 is certainly something the Celtics have done before at that point. Anything in the lower part of the first round, those last five picks, that's something that certainly can be considered by the Celtics. A draft and stash has been done plenty of times. And if they like a guy and they want to kind of keep his rights but let him develop a little bit more, that has value, because in a couple years with Jaylen Brown, 2-3 years into a 4-year extension, Jason Tatum, 2 years into a 4 or 5 year extension, the Celtics might be looking for some help. To have a guy under contract at a rookie scale that has been gaining professional experience overseas, honing his craft overseas, that could be something that helps. It's a very Spurs-type move. The San Antonio Spurs, over the course of their history, have done that move, pulled that move off very, very nicely. So that has value. A draft and stash at that spot certainly has value. The last thing, using that 30th pick to clear out a couple of roster spots in Cantor and Poirier and say, hey, take the 30th pick, take these two guys, we'll give you some cash to pay for their salaries if you want to buy them out. The Celtics can certainly do that. There's value to that, because you trade into maybe a high second rounder, and like John Hollinger said, you don't have to pay a rookie scale. You can structure the contract a little bit differently. So this is a viable option. This is certainly a very viable option for the Celtics to have that as a blueprint for something that could happen. I think there's some legitimacy to this. The Celtics already have one second rounder. They could take a flyer on a second one. They could use that to be like, hey, we'll take a wild swing and see if someone who drops that's questionable. Why did they drop? You take a swing on somebody like that, and maybe he pans out. Maybe you find a diamond in the rough down there. You can use the other second round pick to fill a two-way spot. I wouldn't be surprised if something like this plan pans out. Obviously, the Celtics have the ability to trade up if they package 14 and 26. The Knicks have been said to want to trade down from 8. So if, you know, Onyeka Okongwu is available at 8 and the Celtics covet him, they can certainly trade up. And the Knicks want to trade down. That is something to certainly watch for there. I think it's becoming a little more likely, or it feels a little more likely, that the Celtics picking at 14 and 26 for themselves and 30 for themselves is probably the last resort. There has to be somebody willing to trade for that pick. Somebody that might not have a future pick that wants to come in, or someone that has someone who might have a lower pick that wants to come in. There's somebody at 14 that might want to get into that position. There are teams out there for sure. So I like it. I think, I don't know if it's going to happen exactly that way, but it's something to certainly watch for. I think that it's very possible for the Celtics to do that. Up next, we're going to talk about running it back. Should the Celtics just basically bring this same team back? Going to talk about that next. You want to be driving your same car for a while. You don't want to be trading that car in over and over and over again because it's a lemon, because it needs repairs or whatever. You want to be able to fix your car, the little things that need maintaining. You want to do those little maintenance things, and you can go to rockauto.com to get all of the parts that you need to do that stuff. You can change your oil. You can do your brakes. You can do all of the little things that you need to do to keep that car running. And if you go to rockauto.com, you're going to see a catalog that is unique and easy to navigate. You don't have to go to one of those chain stores and sit there and tell all of the information to somebody else that's going to enter it into a computer and give you a part that just happens to be the brand that they carry. That's not what you want to do. You want to go to rockauto.com, put that information yourself into the computer. Save yourself the trip. Save yourself the time. You know the information. Do it yourself. It's a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They're going to give you the same low price, not like different ones like that other place is going to for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. That's silly of them to do. RockAuto.com. It's the place that's going to give you reliably low prices for everybody, for even the most complicated to the simplest parts. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck, and make sure that you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. That's very, very important. They need to know that we sent you, so write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. If you go to masslive.com/Celtics, you'll see, should the Celtics run it back with basically the same team? We know that the Celtics are going to tinker around the edges. They're not going to bring literally everybody back, but they could bring basically the whole team back with the addition of potentially a draft pick. If they decide to trade up or make a pick at 14, they could bring in someone with a mid-level exception, although in the next segment, why they might not want to actually use the full mid-level. But even if they add a couple of players, we're looking at mostly the same team. And I think the Celtics' best strategy is to bring it back, run it back, at least to start the season. There is a trade deadline there, and there will be help on the market. There always is. The Celtics might as well, unless they are convinced that certain guys are just not going to figure it out, you might as well see if these guys can go through this offseason, work on their games, and come back with the additional skills that they need to contribute to this team. First of all, you've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Let's see exactly how good they are to start next season. Let's see how they come into this season, because they came into this past season with a lot of question marks. It's been a long time. It's been a full year. We're looking at these guys as an all-star and an almost all-star, but that happened late. Let's see how Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown can progress coming into next season. Let's see in the first couple of months exactly where they are. What steps forward have they made? What have they added to their games? How do they work off of one another? Is it better? Is it worse? But first of all, those two guys, you need to just pay attention to how much better are they? And once you figure that out, then you can start going around to the other guys. I mean, Gordon Hayward, is he just going to be healthy? Can we get a healthy Gordon Hayward for once? Can we get a guy that isn't going to have these freak injuries? Kemba Walker, how are you managing his knee? How's his knee going to respond to the offseason? What are you doing? What's he doing? What's he adding to his game? Marcus Smart, can you have the conversation about shot selection with him? And can the Celtics have a consistent starting five that's healthy enough where Marcus Smart has a consistent role, where he's not asked to fill in for Kemba or Gordon or Jalen or Jason? I mean, he's been, we haven't talked much about this, but he was asked to do a lot and play a lot of different roles last year. Off the ball, on the ball. I would like to see him as your just straight up backup point guard. Why not see if those five guys, along with Daniel Theis, or hey, look, maybe Robert Williams can ascend to starting center. I don't know. I mean, possible. But why not see what these guys are together to start the next season? Let's see if they've taken steps forward. Let's see if Romeo Langford can be healthy and contribute. Let's see what progression Grant Williams has made. Can he be a reliable three-point shooter? Can he be a guy that you can count on to be a seventh or eighth man? Is there some other help? Is there somebody else here on the bench? Shemi Ojeleye, if you decide to keep him. Is there someone else that can step up and provide some of the scoring that they needed off of the bench? And between all of these guys, you have between the start of the season and really not even the trade deadline, that first deadline whenever they set it, normally it's mid-December, but that however many months after the free agent signing where that person is now clear to be traded, you basically have, that's usually 2 months into the season. So why not just run it back, see what you have in these guys, and then 2 months into the season, if you're saying, nope, we're not getting the progression that we'd hoped. So now it's time to start looking. And Danny Ainge can start doing the things that he does well, finding trades, and he can start looking at who has value, who can he trade, who's available on the market, what makes sense. I don't see any reason to start blowing things up now and reacting to that loss to the Miami Heat. I know it's disappointing. I get it. We're all disappointed by it. They are too. But let's not overreact to a unique situation, that bubble situation, the injuries that happened. Like, it's a bad taste in your mouth. I get it. And you want moves. That's what happens. You torches and pitchforks are out and you want the moves. Run it back. Take a couple months to evaluate your team. It may go better than you think. It may go worse than you think. But at least at that point, you have an idea of who's improved, who won't improve, and what you need to do. And then you incorporate, if they go through the Hollinger route, they have up until the trade deadline, and if they've kicked that one first-round pick down the road, they've got their own pick plus this other pick that in next year's draft, which is a draft that everybody's excited about, that pick, even if it's lower than 14, is going to have more value than the 14th pick in this year's draft. So why not just take a look, calm down, run it back, unless something crazy comes up this offseason, unless a Godfather offer comes up this offseason, obviously, but run it back, see what you have, and then if you don't like it, by the trade deadline, make your move. And really hunt hard and make your move. Because you can't say this team has deficiencies and then say, well, you know, we tried. This is the time now that the Celtics, you have to start capitalizing on what you have. And you can't overreact to things for sure, but you can't just stand pat and not react to anything. So I think the Celtics are in a good position to take some time to evaluate their roster. So if they're tinkering around the edges, who will that involve? Who's out there that can actually get some of the limited money that the Celtics have to offer? And why might they decide not to spend that entire mid-level exception? That's next. You should spend your money where I spend my money on Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. It is super healthy, and on top of being 100% chocolate covered, soft and easy to chew, 18 flavors that include nuts or no nuts, depending on if you have an allergy, there are options for you. It's great if you are health conscious. If you want to lose weight, maintain weight, you can still eat a Built Bar. I've been telling you all the time, I put a Built Bar in my pack when I go to the gym. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. So I know I'm getting the protein that I need after I lift. I know I'm not getting too many calories to blow out the cardio that I've done. Built Bar is great for that situation, but you can use it as a meal replacement. You can use it as a snack. You can use it as something that's just healthy to use in your, just to augment your diet. You know what you're getting, and it's the good stuff without any of the real bad stuff. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. The promo code has reset for this relaunch. So use it again and again and again and again. Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. You may be sick of the term tinkering around the edges. If you're not, you will be, because that's going to be said a lot around here. Not on this pod, not just on this podcast, but everywhere. That's kind of where the Celtics are. So who the hell are we talking about when we talk about tinkering around the edges? Now, the Celtics have a $5.7 million, presumably $5.7 million taxpayer mid-level. If you listen to any of the podcasts that we just had on with Keith Smith, you'll know that the Celtics are probably going to stick to that $5.7 million number, because if they spend above it and they use the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, it hard caps them. And they're not in a position right now to be hard capped, especially if Gordon Hayward opts in. They're too close to that cap, and there are no exceptions to that cap. If you're at, you can't go past it. So they have to be very, very careful. So they're probably going to have a $5.7 million taxpayer mid-level exception. Now, let me start with this. There are two options with this mid-level. You can split it, okay? You can give it all to somebody. So one of the names that's come up is Aaron Baines. I did it in my last mailbag last Friday. Aaron Baines is certainly an option to consider. If the Celtics don't trade up and get another big man, going after Aaron Baines is, I would love to have Aaron Baines back. Big, tough, he can go and guard Embiid. He can go and guard. He's not quite quick enough to stay with Adebayo all the time, but, I think he's not, like, nailed down. I think he can go up there and body Adebayo and do pretty well. He's 33 years old, so he's a little on the older side, so he's on the downside of his career. So I don't think he's going to command a big raise, but last year he made about $5.3 million. If he wants a raise, a significant raise, then he's out of the Celtics price range. And they're not going to sign and trade for him because that hard caps them as well, and that defeats the purpose. You might as well go shopping with the taxpayer mid-level. So if Aaron Baines is willing to take $5.7 million or less, if the market bears that out, then the Celtics can certainly add him. He shot 35% on three, so he can step out. He's stepped out more. We've seen that. It was kind of a fun storyline at the beginning of last season. So Baines is one of the options for the entire taxpayer mid-level. If it solves a problem, he can still spread the floor. You've got your starting big. Daniel Theis is your backup. Or I don't know, maybe you just don't bring Theis back. I don't know. I shouldn't even say that. They're bringing Theis back. But if you want to go with a different direction with your bigs, bringing in Aaron Baines is the way to do it if he'll take that $5.7 million. Now, splitting the taxpayer mid-level, you can give of that 5.7, 3.7 to one player and $2 million to another player. That's certainly possible. But here's what I've been talking about when I said why the Celtics might not want to use their entire mid-level exception. The 10-year veteran minimum is $2.5 million, just under $2.6 million. This is using this past season's salary cap structure, which we anticipate will be this next season's salary cap structure. Why is that important? Because if a 10-year vet gets bought out and you want to offer him the minimum, that's the number. Basically $2.6 million. I'll round up. It's not quite 2.6, but I'll round up. However, if the Celtics want to keep some money available, they can go to 10-year veteran buyout guy. I don't know. Tristan Thompson. I don't know. That type of guy who they were hoping that would be bought out this past season. Pick somebody. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know who. We don't know at this point who's going to get bought out. But if a 10-year vet gets bought out and he's somebody the Celtics think can help, if they keep some of that taxpayer mid-level money, they can say, hey, we can offer you $3 million instead of the $2.5. So it's an extra $500,000. It's not nothing, but it's more money. Or they keep whatever number above that $2.6 million. But instead of just relying on the minimum, they could have that mid-level. A portion of that mid-level. So that means maybe you don't go after Aaron Baines. Maybe you go after Alec Burks. Now, Alec Burks was a guy that was moved at the trade deadline. He's a decent shooter. Made $2.3 million this past season. Now, he's 28, and he shot fairly well with Philly. Was at Golden State, bounced around a little bit. He can hit the three. He's a guy who can hit the three. Is he going to make that same amount of money? If you give him 2.7, you got $3 million left over. That $3 million can be what you hold on to entice a veteran to sign for more than the minimum. If the Celtics want to go that route, these are all the little things that teams have at their disposal. So if you keep a little bit of your exception and you can offer a little bit more money, you become a little bit more of a player. You're like, hey, we've got a good team. We're a championship contender. You want to come over here? We got a little extra money for you. It's not much, but it's a little extra. We can give you a little bit more. Some guys, well, why would I not take 3 million if I'm going to go over here for 2.5 or 2.6 or 3 point whatever million? I don't know. It's a gun in the it's a bullet in the chamber. That's all I can say. That when you're building a team and you're trying to look at moves that you might need to make, the Celtics have to consider a trade deadline deal and a buyout guy. And why not set yourself up to have more money for a buyout guy? Now, other names that I'm just looking at, and I don't know how available they're going to be. Harry Giles, who was a Jason Tatum teammate at Duke, seems to have a ton of potential. Now, he's obviously young. He's been hurt. He's got issues with his game, but he can be a stretch four type player. Would need to extend his range, but he's an option. Now, is he going to be enough? He's going to need, I think, full mid-level. He might command more just because of his upside. Some team with a little bit more money might throw a little bit more at him just to take a look at him for a couple years and see if they can get something out of him because he's got promise. But he's a guy that's floating out there. People have brought up Nerlens Noel. I mean, I think we already have Robert Williams, and he can do a lot of that stuff if he settles, you know, into a role. But that's an option too. But those are the types of names that we're talking about. Nothing big, tinkering around the edges. Those are the types of guys. I think an Alec Burks type for $2.5 million or so, saving the rest for a buyout guy, positioning yourself for a potential trade deadline trade, I think that makes the most sense. So to tie it all up, I think if this entire podcast is the strategy, it might not be so bad. You use that 14th pick to trade into the next year's draft. You save that in case you need that deadline deal. You run it back, like I talked about in segment two, with the possibility of that deadline deal to fix things. And in segment three, I just talked about using your MLE to get one of these guys to bolster the bench. Look, if you get Alec Burks and he works out for you and Romeo Langford works out for you, now you got a couple of young guys off the bench. Well, not Burks. Burks is, you know, 28. Couple of guys off the bench that can score. You go 8 deep, 9 deep with Grant Williams, 10 deep with your backup center, Robert Williams, whomever that it might end up being. There's your roster. There it is. Alec Burks gives you a little bit of scoring. Or Alec Burks type gives you a little bit of scoring. If it doesn't work, maybe you can keep a roster spot open. You get a buyout guy. Or you've got time. You've also, with that extra roster spot, by the way, have the opportunity to make an unbalanced trade. If you decide to do like a Gordon Hayward 1 for 2, that extra roster spot comes in handy. So that's the rundown here. Not a bad plan, considering where the Celtics are. It gets you into the season and it gets you a chance to evaluate. So if you like it, tell me. If you don't like it, tell me. Email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. Ask a question. I'll put it in the mailbag. Celtics question, can be an NBA question, could be a different question. I don't know. Have fun with it. You know, we've got a lot of content to fill, so I'll answer whatever on the mailbags. Maybe not whatever. I might filter some stuff out. But, you know, Celtics, NBA, basketball, jcorrales@masslive.com. Hey, all of you new listeners, thanks for checking it out. If this is your first time, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you subscribe. Regular listeners, love the 5-star ratings. Love the good written reviews. Keep them coming if you haven't done that. And share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.